Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song makes you wonderful. Something you never seen before.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the book of Romans and will be continuing today with the perfect will of God. So let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 12, verse 1, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
Now, in talking about this whole topic of the perfect will of God and the personal will of God, I want to share with you guys kind of my own story in the context of ministry, and that, of course, for me is what God has called me to. And I think that regardless of what the calling is, because obviously not everybody's called to the same type of thing, but I think as I tell you this story, I think that you will be able to take from it and apply the same principles to your own situation, whatever the particular category is of God's personal will for you, whether it has to do with the things that we talked about, education, vocation, marriage, financial stewardship, ministry, whatever the case. Because for me, what I have sought to do is be in the center of God's will. And so from the earliest days of my walk with the Lord, that was there in the back of my mind, sort of, you know, as kind of a guiding principle. And as I look back now over, you know, 30 plus years, I have these landmarks where, you know, God moved me along in my journey of faith from one thing to another. And it was a revealing, to some extent, of His will and then the necessity of me looking for the kinds of things that we're talking about, the opportunities, the confirmation, and then taking steps of faith. So again, the context is ministry, but hopefully it'll transfer over to other things as well. So it wasn't long after I had become a Christian that I had a sense of wanting to serve the Lord, but I did not have a context for that necessarily. The thought of pastoring, that really honestly did not cross my mind. I came out of paganism with a mild dose of Catholicism on top of it, and the only, you know, real encounter I had with, you know, a biblical view of the faith or the church or anything was what I got here. So I never for a moment thought in terms of I want to be a pastor like Pastor Chuck. I just simply had this desire, I want to do something for God. I want to do something for the Lord. I didn't know what it was or how that would even work itself out. At that particular time, I was working for a construction company, and I had been working for them for quite some time. And I was there just growing as a Christian, living my Christian life, witnessing to the people around me as often as I, you know, had the opportunity to do it, and trying to be a good Christian, but had this, you just had this sense, man, I want to do something for the Lord, and didn't matter what it was. So these were pretty crazy times spiritually. They were exciting times. People were getting saved right and left. A couple of friends of mine and I, we got saved at the same time, and we started sharing with the rest of our friends, and pretty soon we had a large group of people that were gathering in our apartment. We were having prayer meetings and Bible studies, and, you know, we didn't know anything, but we were just excited about the Lord. So one night, we're sitting in a circle and we're praying, and one of the guys, he all of a sudden prays this prayer for me. He says, "Lord, I pray that you get Brian fired from his job, and I pray that you get him in a full-time ministry." And you know what? I did not appreciate that prayer. When he said that, I thought, what is he talking about? I don't want to get fired from my job. I got a good job. And I kind of dismissed it. I thought, that's so ridiculous. That's not going to happen. I've got a good job, and I'm secure in the company. The owner of the company is my friend. So I just left it at that. Before the week was over, I was out of a job. I went into work 2 days later, and my boss called me and said, "I got to talk to you about something." I said, "What's up?" He said, "You know, I got some bad news. I got to let you go." I said, "What? You got to let me go? What do you mean? I'm your friend. Let me go? Where am I going to go? What am I going to do?" He said, "I've arranged for you to meet with the owner of this other company, and I think they'll hire you over there." And I thought, okay, well, that actually was a better company with better pay. So I thought, well, this isn't as bad as it sounds, so, you know, maybe I'll do that. So I made an appointment to meet with the owner, and I drove over, and I met with him, and as I was sitting there talking to him, and he was explaining the job to me and, you know, just going through the whole thing, my mind was completely somewhere else, and I was thinking about, again, that prayer, and I was thinking about what I really wanted to do, and I was thinking, you know, I do want to serve the Lord, and I don't know if I necessarily want to take this job. So finally, the guy literally looks at me, he says, "Are you paying attention? You don't seem to be that interested." And I said, "You know what, I am so sorry. Would you, you know, forgive me. I shouldn't have made this appointment. I'm not the guy for the job. Sorry I wasted your time." And I got up and I left. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't have a job, so I didn't know what to do at that point. So I went down to the beach and I was just down there hanging around. And I ended up going into a surf shop down there that I had previously worked in just out of high school. And I went into the shop, and as I was standing there just talking with the owner, he said, "Hey, why don't you come back and work for me?" And I thought, no way. I've been there, done that. I don't want to go back to working in a surf shop. And he kind of said, "Oh, no, it'll be great, you know." And I said, "Oh, well, you know, I've become a Christian, and I don't know. Let me pray about it." So I did. You know, I prayed about it. And strangely enough, I felt like the Lord was saying, "Look, you need a job. This guy's offered you a job. Here's an opportunity." I just felt this sense like, you know, I ought to take it, even though I didn't really want to. So I did. I took the job. And during that year, almost on a daily basis, I had the opportunity to share the gospel with people that I had known for years as a non-Christian growing up in that place. And it was amazing. And it was a great year of just doing evangelism. But as I got sort of close to the end of that year, I began to get kind of restless. You know, I just had this sense like I wanted to do something else, but I didn't know what it was. And Cheryl and I had gotten married by that time. One day, Cheryl calls me at the surf shop, and she says, "My dad called, and he wants you to give him a call at the church." So I called Pastor Chuck, and he said, "Yeah, I wanted you to pray about, you know, coming and joining the staff here, working with me on the staff as an intern pastor." And I said, "Well, what would I do? I don't know how to do any of that stuff." And he said, "Well, you know, you've told me that you have a desire to serve the Lord, and, you know, this is a place to get trained and see if there's really a calling on your life." So I said, "Well, okay, let me pray about it." And I did. Prayed about it for a week. And at the end of the week, as I was going through the scriptures, a particular passage really stood out to me. And so I said to Pastor Chuck, I said, "Yeah, I'd like to do that. Oh, come on as an intern." And so I did that. And I interned here for a period of 3 years. And at the toward the end of that 3-year period, again, I began to develop a restlessness inside, and I began to sense that there was some change that needed to take place. I didn't really even know what it was. And about that same time, an opportunity came for me to go down and fill in for a pastor who was pastoring a small church down in Vista. And quite honestly, at that point, because of other circumstances, I wasn't all that thrilled about it, but I just thought, okay, I guess I'll do it. So I went down, and for 3 weeks, I filled in for this pastor who was on vacation, had a wonderful time, met the congregation, and good place to visit, never want to live there or anything, but it was enjoyable. And Monday morning, my phone rings, 7:00 in the morning. It's the pastor. How you doing? Oh, doing great. You're back from vacation. Yeah. Was it good? Yeah, I had a great time. Okay, so what's on your mind? Well, you know, I resigned from the church today, and I think you ought to come down and be the pastor. And I said, I don't think so. That wasn't even in my thinking process. That idea never crossed my mind. You know, so I just thought, that is ridiculous. That is crazy. No, I'm not going to do that. So I went to Pastor Chuck and I told him. And he thought it was even more absurd than I did. We had 2 of his grandchildren. He wasn't wanting to see them move away at all. So he said, no, that's ridiculous. That's not, no. And I agreed. Amen. I agree. That's ridiculous. I'm not doing that. And yet, you know, the crazy thing is, you know, some other circumstances developed and things happened. And, you know, there came a point where I just said to Chuck one day, I said, you know, maybe I should just go down and give it a try. I said, you know, I just can't get those people out of my mind. And the thought of them, you know, they need a pastor. Maybe I just need to go down and try it out. So I said, do you mind if I just, you know, maybe just go down for a few weeks and kind of just test the water? And he said, okay, that'd be fine. So, you know, anyway, I went down and started visiting with the people and sharing with them a little bit. And more, I just began to sense this was what God was calling me to do. He was giving me a heart for the people. And we pastored that church for 13 years. And in the course of those 13 years, God blessed abundantly, and the ministry grew, and the church was led supernaturally, really, into missions. And I don't have time to go into all the details, but then I began to get this sense like the Lord was calling me to leave and to go do something fresh and new. And I began to struggle. Wait, no, this can't be happening. No, you don't do this. This is not the way it's done. I wrestled for the longest time with God about this thing. And at this point, the Lord had put on my heart, just like we'd done in Budapest and Moscow and different places, the Lord put on my heart, I want you to plant a church in London. And I was happy to do that because in my mind, it wasn't like I was going to move to London. I was going to do just exactly what we'd done in other places. We're going to go in. We're going to take a team. We're going to evangelize on the streets. We're going to get a handful of people. We're going to send somebody there. It's going to disciple them, and it's going to grow into a church. That's what we'd been doing for years. That's what we were going to do in London. And I was asking all kinds of people to do it. Hey, you want to go to London and plant a church? I'll send you there. I was, seriously. I had a list of pastors that would be great pastors in London. And I was doing my best to convince people that they ought to go to London and, hey, we'll finance the thing. Would you go? And so we're going to do the outreach. We're going to do the church plant. It's just a matter of finding out who's going to be the pastor. And one night, I'm desperate because the outreach is just, it's coming up real quick. And I'm desperate. There's no pastor. So one night, I'm literally on my face. I'm crying out to God, Lord, who is the person? And I'm praying, I'm literally praying for this person, you know, and in the midst of this prayer, all of a sudden, I got this really frightening sense, I am praying for myself. Oh, God forbid. No, I am not praying for myself. No, that's not part of the deal. I'm not going. And so I went to England to do a 6-week outreach and church plant with that in the back of my head, but still looking for a way out. I'm going to find somebody to pastor this church. I am not the one to do it. And you know, but during the time that I was there, I couldn't sleep at night. I would wake up at 4 a.m. I just toss and turn in the bed, and I would think through and pray about, and every single person that I thought of, it just, at some point, it just like, no, that's not the right, that's not, and it kept coming back around to me. And so one morning I woke up about 4, and I noticed that Cheryl was out of the bed. And so I went down the stairs and there into the little kitchen area, and she was sitting there. And I came down, and she said, oh, how come you're awake? I said, oh, I can't sleep. I haven't been able to sleep all week. And she said, why? What's going on? And I was, you know, really hesitant to tell her. And so I paused, and she looked at me, and she said, the Lord's calling us here, isn't he? He is. I really think he is. And so, you know, when she said that, it was to me, that was a confirmation that, you know, this really was God. Because I hadn't told her up until this point what was going on. I was keeping this all to myself. So, all of that to say this. We made the decision at that point that we would put a fleece before the Lord. We'd go back to California, and we would apply for visas. And if we got the visas, that would be the sign from the Lord that we were to go. So we came back, we applied, we got the visas. But the hardest thing I ever did up until that point was leave that church. But I knew that I knew at that point that this is what God was calling me to. I had prayed about this for 2 years. But you know, even the day that we boarded the plane to go, there we were in the airport. And I'll never forget, everybody's crying. My daughter Kelsey's crying. She says to Grandpa, she says, Grandpa, don't cry. It's the will of God. And then she said this. This was the classic line. Grandpa, why is it the will of God? That was the question. Why is it the will of God? So we went. We went to London. We planted the church. And I was as happy as a clam. I loved living in London. I loved planting that church. I loved pastoring that church. I had a vision for that whole country. And so there we were. We were just moving along in the will of God. We were excited. The church was growing. Great things were happening. And then one night, I just had this strange experience. I suddenly had this doubt or this sense of something's not right. And I felt that the Lord had spoken to me right then and said, Brian, you have accomplished what I called you here to do. It's time for you to go back. And I was just not wanting to hear that. No, 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 Lord, that's not it. Seriously, I mean, to me, that was not the message I wanted to hear. And so, you know, a few weeks passed, and that was kind of in the back of my head, and I went into the room that night. I woke up Cheryl. I said, honey, I got something to tell you. And she popped up out of bed and she said, we're going back, aren't we? So I don't. Why do I bother telling you things? You know everything already. And I said, yeah, I think the Lord wants us to go back. So we made the decision to come back. And when I had to stand in front of that church and tell them that we were going to leave, that was the hardest thing I ever did. Leaving Vista was hard. Leaving London was harder. But the difference was in Vista, I felt like we had finished the work. I felt like we did what God called us to do there. In London, I felt like, wait, we're just getting started. And yet I sensed from the Lord that you need to go. So I sent Cheryl and the family home. They came back, and I stayed for another few months to tie up loose ends and all. And during that other few months, she was back here, I was there wrapping things up. I was still wrestling with this decision. And I got to the point where I was obsessing over it. Am I making the right decision? Is this a mistake? Am I doing the right thing? What if I'm doing the wrong thing? What if I shouldn't go? And I got to the point where literally I felt like, okay, all of a sudden one night it hit me. I'm gonna have a nervous breakdown. I'm gonna drive myself crazy trying to figure this out. And suddenly this came to me. And this is what I want to share about the whole thing of the will of God. This suddenly came to me. Okay, I am trying my best to do what I think God wants me to do. If I'm wrong, God knows that my motive is right. So if I'm wrong, if I'm making a mistake, if I get to California and I realize this was not the right thing to do, I will get on a plane and I will come back. And that solved it for me. That was the end of the wrestle. Because I just thought, and this is what I was saying earlier about the character of God and the heart of God, realizing God's our Father. God loves us. He wants us to be in His will. He's working to get us into His will. And if we make a mistake, but sincerely want to do the right thing, guess what? He's just going to pick you up, turn you around, and go, nope, nope, this is it. This is where we're going. And there's a point where we have to just simply trust Him for that. But I shared that journey with you because in these particular things that I've shared with you, these are milestones in my own life and ministry where I look back and I see these were transitions further and further into the ultimate will of God for my life. And, you know, getting into the will of God, it's a process that's kind of going on and on throughout our whole lives. We sort of land at a place where it's like, okay, for example, my situation. Okay, I landed at God's called me to pastor. Okay, I know that's God's will. But then there's all kinds of other details that are involved in that develop and unfold through a process of time. So know this, that we're all on a journey and God's taken us somewhere. And what I like to say to people is, look, the only way you're really going to miss the will of God is if you're resistant to it. If you want to be in the will of God, if that's your desire, if you're saying, Lord, I really want to do your will, and you're honest and sincere about it, you know what? God will get you there. He will get you to where He wants you to be. And He'll remind you of His love and of His goodness and of His faithfulness. And He'll tell you, look, even if you'd make a mistake, don't worry. I'll take care of you. I'll get you to that place. So God has a will for you personally. And as you surrender yourself to Him, as you let Him transform you by the renewing of your mind in His Word, as you have those inclinations and those enablings and those opportunities come, look for those confirmations, but remember that there will be the necessity of faith. And, you know, there comes a point where you just have to take the step. So there I was. I rested in that. If I'm making a mistake, I'll just turn around and come back. But, you know, the funny thing was I went to the airport that day to leave London. My friend Alwyn took me. And we said our goodbyes. And, you know, I got on that plane and it was the most miserable ride imaginable. Still wrestling in my heart. What am I doing? Am I crazy? I got home, landed in L.A., got in, went to bed, woke up the next morning, drove to right here, to the parking lot, opened the door of the car, stepped out of the car, and the Lord said, this is where I want you. And I was like, wow, I wish you would have told me that 2 months ago. I would have had such an easier time. So, you got to trust the Lord.
We'll return with more insightful lessons from the book of Romans in our next study as Pastor Brian continues with part one of Using Our Spiritual Gifts. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled The Perfect Will of God. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0155. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/Pastor Brian Broderson, also on Twitter at twitter.com/Brian Broderson. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.